being. And we thank you. We thank you for your loving kindness and for your tender mercies. We thank you, Lord God, that you woke us up this morning and set us on our way. We thank you, and we praise your name. And so, Lord God, as we've gathered here in this sanctuary, and those gathered online to hear a word from you, speak now, Lord God, for your children are listening. We're listening, Lord God. Speak a word of love and a word of hope and a word of peace and a word of joy. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit, because if you don't speak to us and in us and through us, we do not know what we'll do. So speak now, Lord God, I humbly beseech you. And take hold of me, the preacher, and put me under submission to your holy will. Put me behind the cross of Jesus Christ, and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our collective hearts be acceptable in thy sight, Lord God, as we humble ourselves before you. For you are our refuge and our redeemer. You are Savior and our Lord. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And as we come today, to think of the goodness of Jesus. And today my sermon title is A Prayer for the World. As we're on the home stretch, aren't we? We're on the home stretch towards Easter Sunday. I always think about that when we're in Lent. It's a journey that we have been on this journey towards the resurrection, towards Resurrection Sunday. And certainly we know that Jesus prayed for the world, prayed for all of us, because we remember that the scripture says, for God so loved the world that he would send his only begotten son. It was because of love for the world. And we wish the whole world could get that. It is because of the love of God for us. Oh, love that will not let us die. And so I want to start with this reflection. It's titled, Sacrificial Love. Sacrificial Love. And it goes, on August 16, 1987, Northwest Airlines Flight 225 crashed just after taking off from Detroit Airport, killing 155 people. One survived, a four-year-old from Tempe, Arizona, named Cecilia. News accounts say when rescuers found Cecilia, they did not believe she had been on the plane. Investigators first assumed Cecilia had been a passenger in one of the cars on the highway onto which the airliner crashed. But when the passenger register for the flight was checked, there was Cecilia's name. Cecilia survived because even as the plane was falling, Cecilia's mother, Paula Chican, unbuckled her own seatbelt, got down on her knees in front of her daughter, wrapped her arms and body around Cecilia, and then would not let her go. Nothing could separate that child from her parents' love. Neither tragedy nor disaster, neither the fall nor the flames that followed, neither height nor depth, neither life nor death. Nothing could separate that child. Such is the love of our Savior for us. He left heaven, lowered himself to us, and covered us with the sacrifice of his own body to save us. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. All right? So she would die, the mother, but that child would live. And that's our story. Amen? Jesus, our Savior, would do just that for us. We see in the gospel text that some Greeks, the scripture said, they wanted to see Jesus, right? And they came to Philip and they said to Philip, you know, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, sir, we wish to see Jesus. They had heard about Jesus. They wanted to see Jesus. And so Philip went to Andrew And Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Meaning that folks would now begin to know that what he had come to do. The hour was coming for him to be glorified, right? Because he was coming for one thing only. His 3.5 years of ministry was for one thing only. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains a single grain, but if it bears fruit, but if it dies, it bears much fruit. Do you know what Jesus was saying? He had to die so that we can live, so we can bear fruit. We are the fruit of his death and resurrection. Amen? Right? Unless a grain of wheat, we use the scripture at times in funeral, unless a grain of wheat dies, it doesn't bear fruit. So Jesus had to die so that we can live, right? And we are the fruit of his spirit. We are the ones who believe in him, who believe in him, are here as the fruit, and we too must bear fruit. And we have to die to self so that we bear fruit. Right? Amen? Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in the world will keep it for eternal life. That the idea is that if we love what we're doing in the world, we have no hope of eternal life. Right? We have to die here. Our flesh has to die. The things we do must die so that we can have eternal life. And then Jesus speaks about his death. We read later in the text. He says, now my soul is troubled. He knew, as the Gospel of John tells us, a little bit like the Gethsemane story that we love so much. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. Jesus wanted to be saved from the hour of death. Not from death itself, but from the separation of from being separated from God. Because the sin of the world that he would take upon himself would separate him from God at that moment. And he did not want that to happen. And he says, Father, save me from this hour. No, he realized. It is for this reason, that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. What a loving son he was. He said, this is the only reason why I came. Father, glorify yourself. And then a voice from heaven says, I have glorified it and I will glorify it again. And so, yes, he would glorify it. He would go to the cross for you and for me. He would die for us knowing that was what was going to happen. And now Jesus said, now is the judgment of this world. Now the rulers of this world will be driven out. Jesus came to drive out the rulers of darkness in this world. Right? The enemy, Satan. We know that Satan is running rampant. We know he's running rampant now in our world. But Satan has already been conquered and defeated. He's just running around because he thinks he's got time. But he is already defeated. Jesus says, you know, now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And then when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. We Christian believers, if Satan is running rampant, means we have got to get to work and be lifting up Jesus in the world. You know, we've gotten, in certain areas, we've gotten a little bit lazy. In mainline denominations and a lot of other non-mainline, and those who are non-denominational, we have gotten a little bit lazy because a lot of preachers and churches, all they've thought about is their pockets and their monies. All they think about is what they can attain and for themselves. And they truly have forgotten to what? To lift Jesus' eyes. So if Satan is running rampant for a moment, it is because of the lack of Christian believers who have forgotten that we're called to lift up Jesus, to glorify him. He says, and then when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. And he said this to indicate the kind of death he was going to die. We are supposed to be telling everybody we know through our online service, to our in-service, to our ministries, wherever we go, that Jesus lives and he reigns. We're not just supposed to sing it on a Sunday, come on Easter Sunday, that he lives. We need to be telling the world that he lives every single day. And that he loves them, and that they too, if they do not know Jesus in the pardoning of their sins, they too can be saved. That's our responsibility. That's what he died for. And so, we realize that Jesus was born to serve the world. For God so loved the world. So the psalmist says today, this psalm tells us, this is a psalm that tells us what? To rejoice. This is a psalm of joyous response of the redeemed. Friends, if you know that you're saved, and you know that you're redeemed, we should be joyful. Amen? We should be joyful. Are we going to have sorrow and sickness in this world? Yes, because there's sin in the world. But what Christians should be what? Bar we having hardships. We know that life comes with hardship. Sickness and unemployment and all of that. But God is with us. But we really should be joyful Christians. Why? Because we have been what? Redeemed. We have been paid for by a price. It cost Jesus' life. So that you and I will have the hope of eternal life. Amen, friends? And so the psalmist tells us, declaring this righteous victory of the coming Messiah. This is what this psalmist done. It says, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. Has God done marvelous things for you today, friends? His right hand and his holy arm have gained him victory. Victory is Jesus. Amen. He says, the Lord has made known his victory. He has revealed his vindication in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. And to the ends of the earth have seen the victory of God. We Christians have seen the victory of God. The saving work in this psalm is deemed marvelous. Supernatural, and something God has done with his outstretched arm. This means that Israel's salvation from slavery was not accomplished through human effort or resources. Likewise, our salvation through Christ is accomplished by God's power and not by human effort. Our salvation. God would do it, send Jesus to do it on the cross. So we make a joyful noise, the songwriter says. Don't let people tell us that we should be Christians like this. Oh, woe me, and act as if we are, we're so silent we can't speak. I want to rejoice and thank God for my salvation. If you rejoice and you tell God for your salvation in another way, so be it. Good for you. But I want to clap and sing and says, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Because I am saved and I've been redeemed. The psalmist says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with all the musical instruments. The sound and the melody with the trumpets and the horn. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Why are we making a joyful noise unto the Lord? Everybody under the sound of my voice right here, right at this moment, we have been not only saved for eternal life, but we have all been what? Covered under his blood because we have all thus far survived the attack of the pandemic. Oh, we have a lot to be joyful for today because we don't know what tomorrow brings. The salvation in this psalm was not done quietly, but has been made known to the whole world. Likewise, our salvation through Jesus Christ is a turning point of all history and is available to all people through faith. It's available to all people through faith. And so the psalmist says, oh, let the sea roar. The very sea will roar. And all that fills the world and those who live in it. And let the floods clap their hands. The very floods should clap their hands. Let the hills sing joy together. Come on, church. The very creation is rejoicing because you and I have been saved. At the presence of the Lord, for he's coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. We naturally and spontaneously praise the things we love. We exalt in the majestic wonder of a creation that is beyond understanding. We rejoice in powerful forces of rescues when we are in need of saving. Thus, when we understand the magnitude of our salvation, we can't be silent. When we understand it, I think people are silent, hiding Christians. They don't get it. The work Christ did on the cross. I want to briefly read this. It just says, I've summarized it so it's shorter. Most kingdoms do anything they can to protect their king. This is the unspoken premise of the game of chess, for example. When the king falls, the kingdom is lost. Therefore, the king must be protected at all cost. King Jesus did exactly the opposite. With royal courage, he surrendered his body to be crucified. On the cross, he offered a king's ransom for you and me, his life for the life of his people. He would die for all the world, for all the wrong things that we had ever done and would do, completely atoning for all our sins. The crown of thorns that was meant to make a mockery of his royal claims actually proclaimed his kingly dignity even in his death. He paid the ransom, friends, and the ransom was high, and the ransom was paid for you and for me. And so as the songwriter says, in our lives, Lord, be glorified. Be glorified. Let's glorify God in our lives. In our lives, Lord, be glorified. In our homes, Lord, be glorified. Be glorified. In our homes, Lord, be glorified. In our church, Lord, be glorified. Be glorified in our church. Be glorified, God. And in our world, God, be glorified. Be glorified. In our world, be glorified. I tell you, let him be glorified. Let us lift the name of Jesus and I, for he has redeemed us. He has redeemed us from the damnation of sin and for eternal death, that when we leave this place, we will have the hope of eternal life. Amen. That's the plan. That's why we rejoice. That's why I get up every day, even when I don't feel like getting up or coming to church, because I am thankful that I am saved. And I said to my Bible study class yesterday, as we look at the world and the beauty of the world and all that God has created, come on, friends, don't you think the other side of eternity is even much more beautiful than this? Come on, friends. I'm in no hurry to get there, but I, every now and then, if I get a little bit of worry, I say to myself, God, could you imagine when I get there? I'm going to say, yes, Jesus, this is what you said in your word, isn't it? This is how beautiful when you read Ezekiel and he talks about seeing the vision of God and the glory of God came down and Ezekiel saw it. My God, can you imagine when we see it, when we get there, when we get to that place that he has prepared for us for all of eternity? Can you just imagine? Gives us hope, doesn't it? And it takes away the fear of death. Yes, nobody, the dying is hard. But it takes away the fear of it. Every time one gets fearful, one can think, but there's a better place that I will go to. There's a better place that one day when my time comes, I will be caught up to meet him in the air. The songwriter says, yes, I'll be caught up. Yes, I'll be caught up to meet him in the air. One day, someday, when Jesus calls us home, because that's what he came for, to give us the hope of eternal life. I hope those who are watching online, if you do, anybody's watching online, if you do not know Jesus Christ and the pardoning of your sin, if you have never said yes to Him, I don't know all who's watching, I know all who's here, and I do believe they're Christian believers, but if you do not know Him, friends, from whatever country you are, wherever you are, I encourage you to say yes to Jesus today, yes to His will and His way. No matter how hard life gets, He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll walk with you and He'll talk with you and He will bring you through your life's journey. Say yes to Him. He's faithful and just, and His word is true. Amen.